Last night, I went to a rock concert. And not just any rock concert. This was Guns N' Roses. Although, really only Roses because the Guns were all hired guns, as a friend of mine said. So Axl Rose and a group of guys are touring around playing Guns N' Roses music. It was a late night. I went, Jamie Duner joined me, and we were there. The show started around 11, ended around 2 o'clock. So it was a good 3-hour show, full 3 hours of music. Good music. The guys sounded great. And then, you know, we were going to go home, but then we got backstage passes and got to go to the after party, and we were there for another hour. It was crazy. I mean, Rachel Hunter is to my left, and to my right is Ron Jeremy, and the werewolf guy from True Blood is, you know, on the other side of the room. All the guys from the band, Axl Rose's brothers milling about. So I am on my own today. Jamie Duner was a little too tired, and I think he blew out his eardrums from some pyrotechnics at the show. So it's just going to be me and you guys. I wanted to put out a little episode before the holidays. So, you know, schedules have been a little strange with holidays and stuff coming up. So I wanted to do an episode. There was a lot of stuff this week. So let's do it. This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
41.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Bacon. It is, I don't know, it's December at some point. It's the Thursday before Christmas weekend, and this is our 41st episode. Wild, amazing, cool, crazy. This week, another crazy week in technology, as usual. This week was politically heavy. There were some pretty heavy topics out there, things going on. So the first one I want to dig into is SOPA. And for people that don't know what that is, it's the Stop Online Privacy Act that is making its way through Congress right now. This is some bad stuff. and it looked like it was, you know, the other day it looked like it was very close to being passed. And there's a lot of aspects to this bill. But the biggest part of it is that the government will be able to shut down entire websites if they are found to be infringing on copyrights. Now, it's not just that they are going to request the sites take down the copyrighted material. If a judge passes an order and a site is found to be hosting copyrighted material, the entire site can be stripped, can be taken down. Boom. Anybody that uses it, anybody that's on it. For example, let's say a site like Facebook was found to have copyrighted material and it wasn't taken down and it's user-generated content. All of a sudden, one day, it could be gone. And everybody's content that's on it, regardless of your copywriting or regardless of your infringing on copyrights or not, it can all disappear. Most of this is geared towards non-US companies. So a couple of the bullet points. The government can order internet service providers to alter their DNS servers from resolving the domain name of websites in foreign countries that host illegal copies of video, songs, and photos. And by the way, before I even get more into this, The Verge did a great little breakdown of information about this. So the crazy part of this section is this starts to get into censoring the internet. What this means is that the government can make a change in basically the way the internet works. So if you go to search for a site, you type in a website, your service provider will redirect you somewhere else and you won't be able to access that site. To me, that's pretty scary. That's verging on a major form of censorship. It reminds me of what they do in China, what Google has to do in China. You know, if the Chinese you know, people want to access certain websites in the West, they're redirected through the internet. So this is something like this is a fundamental change in the openness and the freedom of the internet. It baffles me that that this stuff was even about to pass. And one of the other things was they could order search engines like Google to modify the search results for these foreign websites. So not only could they redirect you, but if you went to search for it, the government could dictate what shows up. And once again, to me, this just gets really scary. Another bullet point of SOPA was that they can order payment providers like PayPal to shut down payment accounts of foreign websites that host illegal copyrighted material. Okay, not horrible, not a bad thing. And they can order services like Google to refuse ad payments from foreign sites that host illegal content. Now, those two, they're not the worst thing in the world. And this really is geared at foreign websites because there is language in this bill that talks about, you know, that excludes domestic websites. But still, the fact that, you know, using the internet, you're going to be restricted from accessing content outside of the United States. Here's the biggest thing. This isn't a, to me, it's not really a political issue per se. It's political in the fact that you're stripping rights from, you know, from the American public. But this bill is being created and pushed for by people that have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know. I don't think they understand the implications of it. From what I understand, also, you know, the media companies are pushing this real big. Obviously, they understand. But the congressmen and the politicians, they don't get it. And they haven't really heard from the other side. So it's just a bunch of, you have no experts in the room. You have nobody to explain to all these politicians and these congressmen what the real implications of making these changes are. It's not just about protecting copyrights at this point. At this point, it's fundamentally changing how the internet works and the freedom that we have to access content, any content that we want. Now, it's not saying that we should be able to access pirated content, but it should be up to the government or other people's governments to go after the copyright infringers, not to say that I can't search or find a particular website. So to me, you know, there is a fine line there. It looked like it was about to pass, and then all of a sudden they took a real quick recess and said they're going to pick it up in January. I think they were feeling the heat from around the country, from the tech sector. I mean, if you look at this online, there is not one technology company that is behind this. As far as I can tell, you know, the major players are all against this. And if you read about it, I think I think most people would not be happy about this. So that's SOPA, and that is what's been going on for, wow, this week, you know, all over the news. It really just, when I read some of these things, it's just really frustrating. So what I urge you all to do is to read up on it. And if you agree that it's not a good thing, you know, contact your congressman. A lot of these websites out there that have information, and I'll post some links, give direct links to send letters to your congressman, and, you know, let your voice be heard. That's what this country is all about. So let your voice be heard if you agree. If you don't, let your voice be heard also that you want something like this passed. So that is SOPA, the Stop Online Privacy Act, Piracy Act, sorry. Now, another thing coming out of the government this week, I feel like I'm like ranting on government. This is a tech show, but these things are going on. I don't know, what can I say? The national, and this one seems, their hearts are in the right place, but it's a little ludicrous. So the National Transportation Safety Board last week recommended that no cell phones be used while driving. They wanted to pass a law banning drivers from using cell phones, laptops, and iPads while driving, even if it was just for a quick email or Facebook status update. Okay, I get it. We all do it. We're in the car. We're texting. We're looking at our phone. It can be dangerous. I may or may not have been in an accident due to something like that. But... I would say to them, it is no more dangerous than listening to the radio, It is no more dangerous than eating fast food in your car. It is no more dangerous than talking to somebody that's in the back seat or talking to somebody in the passenger seat. It's no more dangerous than having your dog there with you. There are so many things that are just as dangerous. It feels weird to be singling something like this out. And also, I don't know what they're planning to do. Obviously, they make the recommendation, and it's up to states to pass this legislation if they want to. They're just, they just make recommendations. But I feel like, first of all, it's just going to fall on a bunch of deaf ears. And I feel like there are better fights to be fought. And I don't understand why they're wasting time for something like this. And maybe there will be a few states that pass legislation like this. But, out here in California, they have the hands-free law that got passed. And I personally don't know anybody that's gotten a ticket for it. And I see people on their cell phones up to their ear in the cars all the time. Nobody even pays attention to it. And I think it's extremely difficult for a police officer to monitor that or to see if they're on the side of the road and somebody flies by at 60 miles an hour. How are you going to tell if they're on the phone or if they're texting or if they're looking at their cell phone that's sitting in their lap? It's hard to monitor. It's weird. And so that was the National Transportation Safety Board recommendation this week. So no cell phones while driving. We'll see where that goes. My guess is it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. So we shall see. Now, off of the political side of stuff, on to something that I thought was pretty amazing that happened this week, or the past few weeks. So for those of you who aren't familiar, there's a comedian. His name is Louis C.K. I find him hilarious. He's got a TV show. I believe it's on FX. He's had a couple of shows. He's been a stand-up comic for a while. So he decided to try an experiment. His last concert tour, he paid out of his own pocket to record the comedy show at the Beacon Theater in New York. So he recorded the show, and he wanted to post it online for a minimal fee with no copyright restrictions and get it out there for his fans and see if he could do it. So he did that. He put it up on the web for $5, DRM free. And in 12 days, he made over $1 million. Over $1 million. And this was DRM free. You could have taken one copy of this, put it up on torrent sites, and people, could have gotten it for free. He didn't restrict it at all. But you know what he did? He put it on for $5. For $5, you get an hour and a half comedy show. It's fantastic. He's not ripping anybody off. You feel like you're getting what you pay for. You know it's going directly to the artist, and the community out there responded. And it's amazing. It's amazing. There's a great, if you go on his website, and I'll post a link to it, there's a great letter that he wrote to the community about it and telling them why he did what he did and, the whole concept behind it and about how he just wants to keep doing it. And if it was going to be successful, he's going to keep doing shows like this for not a huge amount of money. And people are obviously willing to pay for it. And it goes to show that people are willing to pay for content. If it's reasonably priced and you don't feel like you're getting ripped off, people are willing to pay for content $1 million in 12 days and still growing. And so then after this, he did something so cool. This guy, I want to give him more money. So what he said is that, and by the way, the million, it went to pay off certain things. So it made over around $250,000 in profit just for him. He said he's going to split the funds into four pieces, and this is where it gets great. So $250,000 to pay for the production and the website, which is a lot, but it makes sense. He did a professional caliber production. $250,000 for a big fat bonus to his staff, and that quotes big fat bonus that he said. $280,000 to charity. He's taking over $250,000 to give to charity. And he lists some, the Fistula Foundation, the Pavlov Foundation, Charity Water, Kiva, Green Chimney, and then $220,000 he's going to keep. What a great guy. He does this amazing experiment. First of all, I think it's, you know, you've seen a little bit on the music side, but not with video so much. And hopefully some of the media companies out there learn from something like this. And I think other entertainers can learn from something like this because they don't need a middleman anymore. They can put their content out there by themselves. And, you know, obviously, if you are struggling and new, you need some sort of publicity machine behind you. He has a following, but it shows that it can work. So good for Louis C.K., man. Please check out his site. Please download it. $5 and you get a hilarious hour and a half comedy show. So that was some interesting, fun, feel-good news coming out of the comedy sector this week. And in the live event realm, there's a ticketing service called Ticketfly. I don't know if anybody has used it, but you know, it's a company that provides ticketing, online ticketing services for venues. They launched a Facebook app that artists and venues can use, so you can buy tickets directly in Facebook, secure and without ever leaving your Facebook site. So you can be on a band's Facebook page and buy tickets to their show right from the website. Little bit of a game changer because it keeps you engaged and it allows you to do it right within the website. It allows it for venues and artists and everything like that. So, you know, you can check it out. You're going to see that coming up. I don't have a ton of details on it. I just thought it was a great idea. I think they launched it a couple days ago. And, you know, you can check that out as you see it on shows. Let's see, on Google this week, we had a couple of fun little Easter eggs. If you go to Google and type in the search bar, let it snow, separated, let it snow, all of a sudden, you'll start seeing snowflakes on your screen, and your whole web page will frost over, and then you can move your mouse like you're, you know, wiping your a hand or fingers on a frosted over window, and you can draw on it and clear it off, and, you know, fun. Doesn't, you know, mean anything, but it's fun. And also, if you type in Hanukkah on Google search, you get Hanukkah lights strewn about on the website. So fun little Google Easter eggs abound for the holiday season. Then I want to get to, I'm not going to go off on it that much, but I'm going to talk about it because it must be talked about. Our friends at BlackBerry. Ah, BlackBerry. So BlackBerry made an announcement that there will be no new BlackBerry. BlackBerry 10, because they can't use BlackBerry X. BlackBerry 10 will not come out until, when did they say? BlackBerry 10 until late 2012. Man, I mean, between now, if they're working on something between now and late next year, the pace at which technology moves, there's no way they're still in the game. There's no way. I just don't understand how they plan on coming back from this. I mean, by the time their device comes out that maybe would be top of the line today, it's going to be completely outdated by the end of the year. And, you know, we've seen bits and pieces of the technology. They're not really innovating. It doesn't look like they're innovating at all. So it's a long, painful death of Research in Motion. You know, I don't remember if I mentioned it the other week, but they announced that they're also going to allow other devices on the BlackBerry Enterprise server. So aside from just assigning BlackBerry, you're going to be able to put iPhones and Android devices on there. I feel this company gets out of the handset market and just stays in the enterprise server market, or maybe somebody's going to buy them. I don't know. Only time will tell, as I've said time and time and time again. So that's the stuff I'm going to talk about on the tech front, and we're going to discuss a little food as usual. Not for long, but you know, shortened show on the food angle. I found something interesting. I was at Starbucks. I go there every now and then. Not my favorite coffee shop, but they do have the great holiday drinks. Gingerbread latte. I'm still addicted. So I went to Starbucks and I noticed the espresso machine they were using was fully automated. I'd never seen that before. And all the guy does is he presses in, you know, all the espresso beans are in the machine, presses in one shot, two shot, you know, whatever it is, hits a button, and it starts extracting the espresso. So simple. The guy said it makes his life. I asked him about it. And I'm like, wow, when did you guys get this in? And at that particular store, he said it was relatively new. And he said they can just move so much quicker. It tastes just as good. And he said the machines are extremely, extremely expensive. But I wonder if we're going to see that on the home front anytime soon as like a premium espresso maker. Maybe they already have that. I'm not sure. But I found it interesting at the old Starbucks. Last week, I had the pleasure of going to there's a couple of restaurants here. One is called Rivera, and one is called Playa that opened up recently. They're both have the same head chef. His name is John Sedler, and his new restaurant Playa this year was named Esquire's Best New Restaurant of the Year. And they threw a party to celebrate this. And they also named John Sedler Chef of the Year for this Esquire party. So I got a chance to go to the party at Playa. It was a nice party. They had, you know, appetizers being passed around the whole time, you know, wine and some specialty cocktails that they were bringing out. The food was great, you know, Latin themed food. But the one standout, and I wish I knew exactly what was in it, but I'd never tasted anything like this before. They had ice cream sundae with a like spicy, oh, I guess it was like a spicy caramel sauce. So it was ice cream and real spicy flavoring to it at the same time. Amazing combination, because you got this major kick and then the ice cream just washed it away. I remember in New Mexico when we would eat red chilies, and if you had that real hot spice in your mouth, the best way to get rid of it was to drink some milk, because it counteracts the acid in the spicy. So this was all of that in a dessert. You would get the spicy, and it would taste great, and it was a really flavorful spicy sauce. And then immediately you would have the ice cream to wash away that burn. And then you would dig right back in. So it was really unique and something I definitely had never tasted anything like that before. I'm going to try and find out the recipe if I can. I'll post exactly what was in it. But it was, that was something good and unique and interesting. So the Playa restaurant, I haven't eaten dinner there, but I can't wait to try it out. I also had a great dinner at an old standard here in Los Angeles called Jar. I just wanted to give a shout out because it was so good. They have this, their signature dish is a pot roast. And I mean, this pot roast is disintegrating as you dig into it. I mean, it is just falling apart. It is tender and perfectly seasoned and perfectly cooked. And the sauce, I mean, everything about it, they just nail it. And this, I mean, you just take a bite and it melts in your mouth. So Jar, Los Angeles, I'm not really going to go all that much into it. So two other little food things. Tis the holiday season, and I'm celebrating Hanukkah. And Hanukkah, we have potato pancakes, or latkes, as they're called. I'm going to go hang out with my aunt and uncle and brother and dad and cousins and friends tomorrow, and we're going to have tons of potato pancakes. I love potato pancakes. But if you find yourself in a pinch and you can't make them by yourself, surprise, surprise, Trader Joe's actually has incredible potato pancakes. Frozen potato pancakes. And they are so good. I was shocked. I bought them, and I just didn't have time. I've been so busy, and I didn't, you know, want to make potato pancakes. It's a intensive, time-intensive activity. So I bought the frozen potato pancakes at Trader Joe's. They were great. They were great. They tasted homemade. and who knew? Who knew? Frozen potato pancakes, Trader Joe's. Go figure. So try them out. I think that's all I'm going to do on the food front. I think that was enough. You know, this show has run its course. I have run out of things to say. My throat is hurting. My voice is super bassy today because of the rock and roll show last night. And I am exhausted because I got home at 4 a.m. So I'm going to call it a night. I hope you everybody has a wonderful holiday season this weekend and happy new year next weekend. I don't think we're going to do a show next week because of the holidays, but we will be back up and running the first week in January with a brand new year of Tech Bacon. So thank you very much. You can check me out on Twitter at ScottyG7, and you can find us on iTunes. Give us some ratings if you like us. Stitcher, TuneIn, Facebook, techbacon.net. We're all over the place. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful weekend.